Amen. God has blessed us, and we truly have been ushered into the presence of the Lord by our psalmist and our worship leaders. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your dedication to the band and to the essential team, Tracy and Jerry, Trudy and Ed. We appreciate each and every one of you. Was wishing one of my daughters happy Mother's Day, and it was 9 o'clock where she was, and she said, I gotta wait 3 more hours for worship to begin. That's a long time, but I tell you, we are grateful there are people that God is allowing to join us in worship, and I appreciate you, each and every one of you, those who are near and far. We are grateful. In the 20th chapter, the 20th chapter of Matthew, there is a familiar passage of scripture as we celebrate and express our appreciation to mothers who gave birth and who, for mothers who've embraced the responsibility without ever giving birth to the one they've taken responsibility for. To each one of you, we say God bless you. And I'm going to begin reading at the 20th verse of Matthew chapter 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you'll indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about lessons from Azalea's mother. Lessons from Azalea's mother. I begin by expressing to you that it is a wonderful gift to have a mother. It's a wonderful gift to have a mother that mothers. And it's a wonderful gift that has a mother that believes in you and that has ambition for you. Matter of fact, that's the first step I want to take as I look at this text. One of the lessons, clearly, that we learn from this precious mother is that she has ambition. She has ambition. There's some things that she wants for her boys. There's some things that she has in mind for her boys. She has high hopes. She has high hopes for her boys. Dane Tillman, a gentleman I met many years ago, did a painting that's in my office. My wife gave it to me as a gift. And it's a picture of a little boy. He's about 9, 10 years old. And back in the day, before there were big malls, folk had street stores, and he's looking through a storefront window. He is in a toy, he's on the sidewalk, and he's looking through the window of a storefront that's filled with toys. And back in the day, individuals would put their items in the window and would position it in such a way to make it very attractive to invite individuals to come in to see what they had to offer. The little boy is standing there. He's a little boy. He's got blue jeans with a cuff. He's got a hat on, and his shirt tail is out. And he's looking with this picture on his face, this image that says, wow, when I grow up, or maybe for Christmas, or maybe for my birthday, or maybe when I get enough money, there's some things there that I want. Many of us have done that, some through catalogs, some are doing it right now, online, making dreams and wishes and ambition about what you would like to have. But this mother not only had ambition about what she would like her sons to have, but what she would like her sons to be and where she would like her sons to sit. She had really great ambition for her boys. And ambition is an interesting thing, because one of the what she's really expressing is that she knows where they are, but she has an idea of where she would like to be. And one of the things that you can't help but see from an image of this picture, what she says is, she says that, Jesus, I want one of them to be on your right hand, one on your left hand. Whatever you get from that, the one thing she did want, she wanted her boys to be close to Jesus. That's a good thing. Forget all about the title. She wanted her boys to be close to Jesus. Forget all about the job description. Don't know what the job description entails, but she wanted her boys to be close. Any mother with some good sense, you want your children to be close. You want your children to be close. She wanted, in essence, for them to be able to reign with him, to work with him. And to be able to do that, that requires some things for a mother to have in every child. Those three things are potential, preparation, and passion. Potential, preparation, and passion. When you have high ambitions for a child, you've got to think about potential, preparation, and passion. Potential is kind of a mystery. Potential is a mystery because you don't know what has been sown in them. You don't know right off the bat what God has wired them to do or be. Sometimes you don't recognize it, and sometimes they don't recognize it. No one, if you were to rewind 50 years back and zoom in on a Sunday school class with this little girl with pigtails sitting in the corner with her sister, you would never dream that the little girl sitting in Reverend Wesley Manning Sunday school class of the Greater Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church, the little girl that never said anything, you would never dream that 50 years down the road, she would be an articulate, effective handler of the Word of God. Because back then, she did not talk to nobody but her sisters. I'm talking about your first lady, Miss Trudy. Miss Trudy, back in the day, it's hard sometimes to recognize potential. Junior, it's a mystery because you don't know what has been sown in them. And then seed, foliage, and fruit all have a different shape, color, and size. You can't tell from the seed necessarily what the fruit's going to be. When you look at the orange seed, it's oval. It's a light tan. When you look at the foliage, it's deep green with a little waxy coating. But when you look at the fruit, it's orange with pimples. You can't always tell the potential because it's a mystery. Michelle Obama, in that documentary, Becoming, she had some feelings about a counselor, went back, couldn't wait to get back to the school. Because when she told the counselor, I want to go to Princeton, the counselor told her, that's a little too high for you. Because the counselor didn't see the potential that she was already feeling in her soul. It's a mystery. You got potential, but then along with potential, there has to be preparation. Potential is the ability that God has placed within. Preparation is what you're willing to endure to be prepared if the door ever opens. Because in this thing, God's going to do something, but you got to do something. The problem I wrestle with so many people, we want God to do everything. God will open the door, but you got to go through it. Have I got a witness? God will help you pay for the class, but you got to read the book. Have I got a witness? We want God to do everything, but there's some stuff you got to do. There's potential, but then there's got to be preparation. And you've got to prepare long before you ever get to the door. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. There are individuals right now, even though nobody knows when the football season's going to resume or if ever. Some people don't know when the baseball season is going to resume or if ever. Some individual, but I can bet those individuals that are serious are still working out every morning. Those individuals that are serious are still operating by a strict diet. Those individuals that are serious because they know they can't wait for the season to start preparing. I'm going to rewind it one more time because some of y'all want the door, but you don't want the preparation it takes to get through the door. Have I got a witness here? It's a mystery. There requires potential. There requires preparation. There requires preparation, and it requires passion. You got to have passion. You got to have passion because you got to keep on preparing. Even if you make the team, but you're second and third string. Passion will make you keep on working out, even though your name has not been called. Passion will cause you to celebrate those who are in first seat, even though you're playing second field. Hey, passion will have you celebrate the victories of others, even though it doesn't ever seem like you'll get a chance. But I got some good news for you. You remember that quarterback on Alabama back in the day? They were in a championship game. Tua is his name. You remember the fella from Hawaii? Tua was his name. He was a second string. He was second string quarterback. And the quarterback who was starting, the quarterback who had been celebrating, something just wasn't in sync. In the first half of that game, it was clear that they were not moving the ball. It was clear that something new had to be done. And the courage of the coach, even though the guy was a star, even though he was celebrated, he took the starter out and put in a second string guy that nobody had ever heard about. People were fumbling, trying to figure out even how to say his name, but he knew. Have I got a witness? He knew his potential. He knew that he had been preparing, and he knew that he prepared as if his name was going to get called any day, any moment. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You need to have this mystery of what you will be. It's a mystery because it's tied to your potential. It's tied to your preparation. And it's tied to your passion, and it's tied to the memory, to the mystery of when God chooses to call your name. But here's what I got to tell you. When he calls your name, you need to be prepared rather than being preparing after your name. It's too late to prepare after your name's been called. Passion will make you hang in there even though your name has not been called. She had ambition. She had ambition. She believed these boys had potential. And she wanted them to be able to sit in the seat. Isn't it interesting? Jesus asked her, "What you want?" She said, I want you to put one on one side and one on the other. That's interesting. Jesus, what do you want? I want one to sit on the left, and I want one to sit on the right. But then a question might have been asked, look to the fellas, what do y'all want? Because sometimes parents want stuff for children that they don't want for themselves. Have I got a witness here? And I need to help some mother up in here. I need to help some father out there. You need to come to grips with the fact that when you want something more than the individual wants for themselves, it might be a good chance for you to. Because they gotta want it, no matter how bad you want it for them. She had ambition. Here's what else we see in the text. On a given day, I don't know what day it was, but she had ambition, but she also took action. She took action. She saw her moment of opportunity. She went to Jesus. Watch this. And she went to Jesus. She went to Jesus. This wasn't a private request. This wasn't a private meeting. And I don't know how it came about. When we get upstairs, we'll get to ask them, did y'all decide this over Thanksgiving dinner? Did y'all decide this at the birthday party? When did y'all decide that y'all were going to make this kind of act? And so in front of all the other disciples, she takes her two sons and she goes in the presence of Jesus. Watch the text. It says she bows down as an act of worship and reverence in front of everybody. And she makes her request. She took action. Now, I got another point when I leave this one. I got another one that I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But she takes action and in front of everybody. I'll get to that in a moment. And she tells Jesus what she wants. She tells Jesus what she wants. I want you to take one of my sons. I don't care which one you pick. Put one on your left and put one on your right. And without hesitation, without scratching his head, Jesus immediately responds to her, "You don't know what you're asking for." She's got ambition. She's taking action to be an advocate on behalf of her boys, on behalf of these young men, but she doesn't know. Jesus said, "You ain't got a clue of what you're asking for." Because most mamas don't ever want to see their child suffer. Mama will go mama bear, will play a mama bear if anybody picks on the cub. Go on, admit it. Has anybody ever lost their mind and went mama bear? And you done cussed out somebody. You willing to do something publicly to go in and do battle on behalf of the cub? Now here's what's so funny. Sometimes you can go mama bear so bad that you forget the truth you already know about your cub. Same cub that talks back to you, that cub's gonna talk back to the teacher. Same cub that took the $5 off your dresser is the same cub that'll steal $5 out of somebody else. And sometimes your love for the cub overlooks the sins of the cub because you don't want to admit it's your cub. That's your cub. How many people need to go repent to folk who they went off on because you inadvertently went mama bear crazy trying to protect a cub that was totally out of line? Here's my point. She thought that this request would be all rosy, peaches and cream, which means she really missed and misunderstood what Jesus was on his way to and the things that Jesus had to go through. But Jesus didn't play around. He told her right up front, "You don't know what you're asking for. You think that to be close to me is going to take them up. But the truth is, to be close to Jesus is going to make you go through what he went through." But then Jesus also explained to her, one, you don't know what you're asking for. But then secondly, those seats that you're asking for, they come with cups. There's a cup required for that seat. There's a cup that anybody who sits in that seat is going to have to drink. There's some painful experiences that goes with that cup, that goes with that seat. And so the question is, are they prepared to drink the same cup I got to drink from? Jesus has made up his mind before he ever entered the womb that he was going to do the Father's will. He came here with his mind made up that his life would be, that he would be a suffering servant. Can you drink from the cup? That cup, that seat has been reserved, and that seat has been prepared for somebody that the Father has ordained. Now, here's what's interesting. She wanted them to be hooked up. But you don't get a hookup just by being in the family. There is a blessing of trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sin, where you are become a part of the family of God. You're saved, and now you are part of the family of God. But that seat requires more than just being a part of the family of God. Because the good God we serve has called us into salvation, but then he's also called us into service. And over again, he reminds us through the word of God that he is a great father who rewards those who serve him. That seat is set aside as a reward for those who serve him. Come here. Here's the text. Go into my vineyard and work. And here's what he says. And then whatsoever is right, I will pay you. That thing is a reward. So in other words, here it is again. He who's faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that which is much. There's this idea that God is keeping track, that God is going to reward us for the work that we do. Have I got a witness here? Which means getting into heaven is one thing, but your rewards are not all the same. I had one aunt, she said, I just want to get in. Cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. Getting in is cool. Don't get me wrong. Getting in is cool, but if there's an opportunity for a reward, sign me up. I want some of that. I want whatever it is God wants to give. I want some of that. I don't just want to get in. I want to have, getting into Holiday World is one thing, but having access to every part of it is another. Now, Holiday World, they fixed that because they knew that, you know, they knew that you paid so much and they, you know, they just fixed it. But there are other parts where you get in on one part, but you got to have something else to get in some of the other. All I'm trying to say is everything that we receive it at salvation, heaven, joy, all of that, that's one thing. But what Jesus is trying to get her to understand is that God has some other seats that have been reserved. There's some other crowns that have been set aside. There are some things that not everybody is going to receive. She had ambition and she took action. And here's what she did. She did it in front of the other 10. And she said it loud enough so they clearly heard what she said. They knew what she wanted. And the boys were standing there. Matter of fact, and when Jesus said, can y'all drink from the cup? They said, yes, we can. Yes, we can, which means they were in on it. They knew what she was going to ask. They knew what she was trying to do. She was trying to get them a hookup, and they wanted it. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And then all of that incident, her ambition and her action, it affected the whole team. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. One of the lessons from this good mother, she had great ambition. She believed there was potential. She was trying to prepare her boys to do for great things. She took action. She asked Jesus. She wasn't afraid to ask. She wasn't afraid to tell him what she wanted. And even though she was asking for something, she really didn't know what she was asking for, she still asked. She asked Jesus, and Jesus responded That's not my call. But then finally, you need to know that what she did annoyed the team. The 10 other disciples that were there following Jesus, they were annoyed by what she did. When the other disciples heard it, one version says they became indignant. Here's what they did. They became annoyed. It ticked them off. It ticked them off. In the words of D. Blue, it made them feel some kind of way. Made them feel some kind of way. I can see them looking at each other, because when somebody do something like that, you can't help but think, well, what about us? What about us? And can't you see them looking at each other, because they're looking at the other person to see if they feel some kind of way too. Made them feel some kind of way. And Jesus knew what her actions had done. Jesus knew what it was doing to the team. And he couldn't afford for her ambition and her action to destroy the team. And so quickly, Jesus put a plug in the dike that had been poked in the team. Their joy was leaking out, and Jesus had to plug it because she had annoyed the team. And now, when you've been annoyed, you'll lose your focus. When you get poked, you'll quit looking at what you ought to be looking at. When somebody make you feel some kind of way, you're spending too much energy feeling that way rather than staying focused. And so Jesus stepped up because he had to help the team. He had to help the team. Junior, he had to help the team. If not, division. You know, he goes, somebody going to say something. They're really looking around, Carla, because they know what is Jesus going to say. And here it is. If Jesus don't say something, I am. They want to know, what is Jesus going to say about the woman? What is Jesus going to say about the request? And what is Jesus going to say about them? Because they looking up there looking like Barney Fife saying, we can. And if he don't say something, somebody need to say something. Because that ticked me off. And if I don't get him in the presence of Jesus, just wait till Jesus leave the room. And Jesus knows he's got to deal with bringing his team back in line. And here's what Jesus says. Verse 25 says, he called them together. Somebody had already been drifting. Hey, y'all, come on. Huddle. Come on. He calls them together. He brings them in close. And he says to them, you know how rulers of the Gentiles, you know how they do it. You know how they roll. Everybody trying to be big baller, shot caller. That's all they do, is constantly trying to figure out who's going to be the big baller, shot caller. Now let me explain something. That ain't how we roll. This is the Rasko version. We don't roll like that. We don't play politics. We don't roll like that. We're not derriere kissers. We don't roll like that. We don't care who your last name is. We don't roll not like that. We don't care if your mama was a mother for 50 years and if your daddy was the first one on the deacon board, because we don't roll like that. Let's get it straight. Come here, pay attention. We don't roll like that. That's how they roll. They can't wait to get in a seat of authority. even if they got to buy the seat. And every now and then, let me put a parenthesis right here. Every now and then, God will give us a chance to let people, he'll let us see somebody buy a seat. You finish the conversation when I'm off the air. But we don't roll like that. Here's how we roll. Ready? And I'll be done in just a few moments. If you're looking to become a celebrity, to the left. If you came because you want your name up in lights, to the left. If you're in this because you want everybody to know your name, if you're not willing to suffer, to the left. Because you need to know not everybody gonna like you. And if your personality can't take somebody not liking you, my advice for you, you're going to have to endure some stuff. And my advice is, if you can't handle it, you'll do some stuff and nobody will ever call your name. And if you can't handle it, this role is a role for servants. And if you're willing to serve, if you're willing to serve even when people don't say, you're willing to serve, even though somebody's gonna be criticizing how you serve and when you serve. And if you can serve with your eye on me and be able to serve in spite of what folk you're trying to serve do, that's how we roll. Because you need to know when you're following me, you're going to have to take some stuff. When you following Jesus, there's some people going, they're going to do it two ways. Some will say it to your face. But you got another crowd. They won't say it to your face, but they'll say it to somebody to make sure it gets to you. And if you're willing to handle that, then potentially you've got a great seat. Well, how, Jesus, how you expect us to do all of that? My mama helped me. My mama lived with a playlist. She didn't have a smartphone. She didn't have an MP3. We didn't even have a cassette player. But in her heart, she had her own playlist. Sometimes mama come home from church and she'd be fuming all the way home. And she'd start her playlist. See, the church was at 10th and Martin Luther King, 10th and Northwestern. But by the time she got to 16th Street, she'd push play on a playlist. And she'd sing from 16th Street, usually to 30th Street. She might be singing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And by the time she got through two or three verses, she'd have made it to 30th Street. And then by the time she hit 30th Street, she'd hit another one. "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord." Because she's going north. The church was downtown, but home was north. She get hurt sometime. Church is a great place to get help, but it's also a place where you can get hurt. But she made it home with the help of a playlist. By the time she hit 30th Street, she'd have another song. By the time she hit 38th Street, she'd have another song. And we lived between 63rd and 64th. We lived on the Riviera. And sometimes she had to sing her way home. I want to suggest to you, get you a playlist, because David said this one time. David said, sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Bessie Dale didn't know what she was doing, but singing all the way to church and singing all the way back, we had choir rehearsal going, choir rehearsal coming, and Montnet with them, they didn't always know the songs, but I remember Mama singing her way. She'd sing her way. She'd sing her way home. Here's what I'm trying to show you. This is a lesson from a very zealous woman. She had ambition. She believed that there was some potential. Didn't always know exactly what it was in her boys, but she believed that there was some potential, that there was a time of preparation and they had passion. And she believed that if they were just working with Jesus, close to Jesus, that was a good thing. She took action when she could. She took action when she could. I believe that she prepared those boys. You need, when you're going to sit at that kind of seat, you need to be prepared. You got to know when to talk. You need to know sometimes you're there to be seen and not heard. It's not just enough to talk, but it's important to have something to say. Sometimes you got to know how to serve. You got to serve in the midst of silence sometimes. Sometimes you got to serve even when you're suffering. But she understood. She understood that that request might make some people feel some kind of way, but it didn't stop her from doing it. Because I love the fact that Jesus, he knows when we're out of line, Jesus knows how to readjust us. He knows, Jesus knows how to calibrate us to keep us where we need to be. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the God we serve, he knows how to keep us calibrated so that we can do the job that God's called us to do? David White, my beloved brother, who had many McDonald's for many a years, he said that when we opened, there was one thing that we had to do every single day. We had to calibrate the equipment. We had to make sure that the equipment was functioning within the design, within the temperature that it was supposed to function, because we expected that tool, that equipment to do a job every single day, all day. We understood that when you use something over and over, it's easy to get out of line. It's easy to get out of the standard. And Jesus shows us that as we're striving to get home, he gives us his word to keep us calibrated, to keep us operating within the divine will of the Father. How do you do it? How do you serve? How do you suffer? How do you endure? I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to take my seat. You get yourself a playlist. Trudy has a playlist. I hear it almost every single day. And I got myself a playlist. Because sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Tressie them sung one of the songs on my playlist earlier today. like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, sometimes I wonder, what have I done to make this race real hard to run? And then I say to my soul, take courage, because the Lord will make a way somehow. That's on my playlist. I got another one on my playlist. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I'm glad trouble, it don't last always. I got another one. This is a new one. This is a new one. You may have heard this. Iresi sings this one on that album, The Nazarene Cut. God gave me a song, Trials in Your Life, Tears Are in Your Eye. Things will work out fine if you trust in God. Something's worrying you and you don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. He will see you through if you trust in God. Trust in God when things, what is that? Because he's standing right there. Won't you give him a try? If you trust and obey, for there's no other way, and things will be all right. My daddy had one. It was a prayer. It was a request. He said, use me, Lord, in your service. Draw me nearer every day. Because, Lord, I'm willing to run all the way. There was a verse in that that daddy used to, he'd hit this high tenor part like Sam Cooke. He said, if I falter, because sometimes even while I'm trying, I'm going to come short of what God wants me to do. And sometimes I'll come short of what I want to do myself. But God, if I falter, while I'm trying, don't be angry, but let me stay. Because God, hear what I want to tell you. I'm willing to run all the way. All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. Lord, I'm willing to run all the way.